Well, I'm the guy who calls Ben, because calling Ben is what calling Ben is all about. And that's what I'm doing. Nobody knows anything like me about calling Ben, that's for sure. I tell you what.
Buggery.
It's a real... Hey, Ben Lawrence, how's it going?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
You know, one of these days, I'm just going to answer the phone and not say anything and just see how far you get.
Oh, man. We could go pretty far, Ben. That's an entire hour.
Exactly.
Of,
just waiting for Ben to pick up the phone. Battery check.
Battery check is batteries are all full.
Right on.
Firing on all cylinders. Because batteries are cylinders. Sort of.
But they don't?
I'd say mostly. If you're going to pick a shape for them.
They're cylindrical.
Yeah. Hey, here's a question for you.
Here's an answer.
All right. So, circle, right? Cylinder, sphere.
Is that a question?
Sort of. So a cylinder.
Three shapes,
right?
You put into a hole.
Cylinder is it's a three-dimensional shape based off of a circle.
Yeah, a circle is a 2D cylinder.
People would say that a sphere is also a 2D circle. I mean, a circle could also be considered a 2D sphere.
Yeah.
Right? But this is the way that I think of the difference, right? For a cylinder, you bisect at any point along the cylinder. No, I guess if you go at different angles, it's going to be different. But
well, let's just assume that we're all slicing at a 90-degree angle.
If you're slicing at a 90-degree angle, that circle is going to be the same size every single time.
Correct.
Whereas with a sphere, if you slice it, different size every time. As soon as you move like a little bit down, it's going to be a different size.
Yeah, but
so that's kind of interesting.
But the interesting thing is, you can slice a sphere at any angle, and it will always be, the 2D representation will always be a circle. Whereas if you slice a cylinder at a weird angle, the resulting 2D shape is going to be oblong, and thus geometry was born.
Yes, exactly.
Not geography, and like really, I was about to say.
Yeah, it's only at a 90-degree angle when it will be a perfect circle. And I don't know that band. It's a band, though, and I'm not going to do
a perfect
anything
circle? Is
with
that a,
it.
Is that a band name?
Yeah, I think so. Here's another thing, though, right?
Yeah.
You've got a sphere, and you've got a cylinder. Those two things, you know, for sure.
Barf.
A square that's a perfect, you know, 3D representation, or a 3D representation of a square, is a cube. What is a 3D representation of a rectangle called? I have an answer that I'm thinking of, but I want to see if there's a different answer.
A 3D representation of a rectangle.
Well, yeah.
if sliced at a 90-degree angle, as we have been, it would be a box.
No. Oh, yes. Good. That is the answer I was hoping for. I was going to say, I can't think of any term other than box.
Yeah.
Right? You have cube, you have pyramid, you have sphere, you know, all fancy special names. Box.
But what's a 3D rectangle?
I think,
you know, there's got
the workhorse.
There's got
the workhorse of 3D objects, really.
And there's got to be a technical term like sphere, like cube. There's got to be a universally accepted term for that. That I just don't know.
Yeah, me too. That's what I was thinking. But maybe it is box. Maybe it really is.
Maybe
box.
Like,
who's to say?
A quadruplanal. I'm making up words.
Yeah, quadrilateral. I was. Now I warp like a smile, Ben.
Speaking of circles.
I don't.
Even though those are two different songs.
I don't need to walk around with Urkel. Which is still one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
I was scrolling through the old Instagram yesterday, and he was there playing a song of some kind. I think it was Tremendous Brunettes. I did not, however, click sound.
He does that. He'll actually just set up his iPhone and just record himself playing bits of songs. In fact, this morning I saw, because, you know, we're not friends on Facebook, but I follow him on the Facebook machine. Yeah. And he posted a short clip of him playing Like a Luminous Girl.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, it's cool for him to do that. That's great.
Yeah, he's got a Patreon. Think. Shout out to Mike Doty's Patreon. I am not a Patreon of his, but I do buy his albums when they come out. So I think that's you know,
fair. Dubai. I don't steal his music. Subliminal message for the people.
I don't steal music. Actually, I don't. I've never, aside from like ripping CDs I didn't buy into my iTunes, I've never stolen music. I haven't torrented anything. And but when I have friends, and I have friends currently who are giving their music away, if there's an option to buy it, I will pay for it. And specifically I'm thinking of your friends and mine, the Half Brothers. Rick Miller, David Nixon, and John Ackerman, they have a new album out. It's got 9 tracks. It's more than an EP, but less than you would want on a full LP.
All 3 fine fellows, by the way.
Indeed.
Those guys.
So you can,
and hey, Ben,
you can go to their Bandcamp. You can go to their Bandcamp and buy
suggestion.
Their album, or you can get it for free.
Let's go ahead and put a link to that in the show notes.
All right.
And to make it more, I'll talk a little bit about each of those guys. Let's see. First of all, David Nixon, right?
Yeah,
Dr. David Nixon.
Dr. David Nixon.
Yes. He was one of said one of the best things, and I don't even remember the name of the show anymore. But Austin was doing a show, and I was interviewing them. I believe we were at Seattle Center for some reason outside. Maybe not. But I said, the name of this show is blank. And I said the name of the show. And David Nixon, not skipping a beat, said it's also its title, which I thought was great. It made me laugh. Oh, and I also said to him, you play the banjo very well. And he said, that sounds like something someone would say on a tape where you're learning to speak English. I played the banjo very well. That was great.
He had one of my favorite, like, between song bits of banter when I was watching him play. It was either with Awesome or with the Half Brothers. I don't remember. And he's tuning his banjo, right? So he spends a little time tuning it, and then he shakes his head, and he's like, yep, still sounds like a banjo.
Speaking of banjo and all... for once, now, you know, if you're a scammer, don't listen to this, but I know for a while, Rick Miller had the email address Flaming Banjo.
Yes.
And he was the one who, I believe, said that what's the difference between how is a rattlesnake and a banjo the solo the same?
How are they the same?
And it's by the time you hear it, it's too late. Something to that effect. I don't know.
I saw a bunch of banjo jokes online once, and they were all pretty funny. But the only one that really stuck with me was, "What's the difference between a trampoline and a banjo?" You take your shoes off to jump on a trampoline.
Oh, nuts! That's good. Also, Rick Miller, famously, Captain O. The Puppet House.
Yeah.
Also the Safety Cowboy from Ninja Exterminators.
Indeed.
Just an all-around talent. He's a really good... I forgot about this until now. He's a really good graphic artist.
Yeah.
And also he sings...
He's a web developer these days, too, I believe.
He's what?
He's a web developer.
Web developer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. He has the skills... so yeah, very, very cool. And of course, John Ackerman,
Johan.
Yukon Johnny. As we've stated before on this, he borrowed a video camera of mine, and in payment for borrowing the video camera, he recorded a bunch of my songs, and they were great. And famously, I have lost the CD that they were on. And maybe,
oh no,
just maybe, I will get them again. So, what was that?
I said, oh no.
Did you say, oh, I thought you said hello, and I was confused. But anyway, so yeah, those guys, the Half Brothers, they're great.
I was once mistaken. Actually, I've been mistaken for both David Nixon and John Ackerman by two different people at two different times.
Interesting. Yeah. Now that's kind of strange.
I don't know if I've ever. I don't think I've ever been mistaken for Rick. But I was at Theater off Jackson, and I can't. Oh, I think it was when we were doing our Sketchfest back in 2009, because I had my guitar. Oh,
okay.
Which is the only reason why I would have my guitar at TOJ. And I think I'm wearing, I can't remember what kind of hat I'm wearing. And the guy behind the bar is like, hey, John. And I look over and he's like, oh, whoops, sorry.
Yeah, here's a question for you. Did John do stuff with Christmas in Babylon, or is that was a different guy?
No, John was in that show. That's where I met John.
I think that's where I met John too.
Yeah.
And he was great. He was a really, really great, fun guy. You know who I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of a guy who was in another Johnny Kaufman show, the Planetarium show, which John Ackerman was not in.
No. That's Dan Dennis, also a talented guitar player.
And he is not in the Half Brothers, for sure. Oh, hey, speaking about which, not speaking about which, I'll explain. when I said speaking about which, I was saying that to something that I was thinking, not something we were talking about.
Welcome to a conversation with Paul Goody.
Okay, so I have watched all of Glow now.
Okay.
All two seasons. Have you seen all two seasons?
I have.
So Glow spoilers, maybe. Great. Wonderful show. Really liked it. The guy who I was talking about, who was in the show, the magician guy, whose name I can't remember. I said, hey, this guy, he has a part in Glow. And I described him, and I was trying to think of, and you thought maybe he was the boyfriend sort of guy.
Oh, yeah, he wasn't. Yeah. Who was he?
He was the guy who's the head of a coven who went to see the show. He's just a very small, very small part of the thing.
Is he just like an audience member during one of the matches?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. When they're handing out flyers. So there you go.
So how do you know this guy?
He was on Penn and Teller Fool Us.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And then I just started seeing him in a whole bunch of things that I was watching. he was in, for instance, Lost River, which didn't get a lot of good reviews, but I thought was wonderful. Which is, and I'm serious, I really feel this way. Ryan Gosling's first directorial thing.
Okay.
And they said, oh, this isn't good. He's just doing stuff that other directors have done. It's like,
steal what, from the best.
That's what directors do. How is this? I really honestly think that it's because he's good looking, they don't want him to do well as a director. I know that sounds weird.
He had a wide master shot and then he cut in for close-ups. Every director does that.
But it's really, he wrote it, he directed it, and I think it's really great. So that's that. But he was in, the guy I'm talking about was in that as well. He was the MC at a nightclub, did a really good job there also. and he is the lead singer of a band called Possum Dixon, which has a song that goes, I watched that girl destroy me, which was famous when we were in our, you know, college years,
yeah,
or whatever.
The name of the band sounds familiar, but I can't place any of their songs.
Yeah, that's the only one that I remember, like, off the top of my head. And by off the top of my head, I mean, I watched it on YouTube a little while ago.
Speaking of and still 90s bands, I remember when there was a band back then, like an alternative rock band called Toad the Wet Sprocket.
And oh, hey.
Every time that they were played on either MTV or the radio, the DJ was sure to mention, by the way, this band got their name from a Monty Python sketch.
Can I tell you something that just came up this week? I was very bummed as a kid because I went to see the B-52s, which I was happy about. When I say a kid, I mean a high school kid.
Oh, no, I got to go see the B-52s play a live show.
Exactly. We were really excited. Hey, B-52s are playing. This is awesome. And the opening band for their tour was the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Wow. And I was really into bass at the time, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Well, they played on this boat called The President, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers were not their opening act for this leg of the tour. Instead, a band that I had never heard of before, Toad the Wet Sprocket, opened for them. And so they had a lot going against them, and yeah. I wasn't a big fan of them since that. And now, in retrospect, I'm a 45-year-old guy. Again, there's nothing worse than people thinking you're going to be the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Right.
And being disappointed.
Right.
That's not a great look for me. And I apologize to them, kind of. But the B-52s, amazing.
I don't. You know what's funny? Because I don't see the Red Hot Chili Peppers is a good opening act for the B-52s. They're not really.
but the B-52s were more famous at the time.
Was this in the Love Shack days? Like their 90s resurgence.
Famous, I mean, that's kind of a you know what I mean, half and half kind of proposition. But yeah. Right around that area.
Yeah.
Era. Hey, this is something that, okay, so talking about podcasts I'm listening to, I don't listen to podcasts behind paywalls because there are so many podcasts. It's just like,
'cause how dare people try to make money off their efforts?
Yeah.
Much free content, it's hard to pay for stuff.
But it's like, whenever I'm vegan, it's great because I don't hem and haw about what to order on the menu. I just order the one thing that is vegan.
Right.
And then it's easy for me. In the same way, there's so many podcasts, I listen to the ones that I don't pay for. And Threedom, which is Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, and Paul F. Tompkins, is now out from behind the paywall.
Oh.
And so I've been listening to that. And they had a question that they discussed on their podcast. So is this stealing from them if I tell their podcast and then I ask you the question and we discuss it ourselves?
I don't think it's stealing because you've given them fair attribution.
Okay, so here's the question. You can only pick from a decade of music, right?
Okay.
And it has to be a decade. It's like the 70s, the 80s. It can't be from 75 to 85.
Gotcha.
Or you have to pick a decade. And you can only listen to music from that era.
Okay.
What era do you choose?
That, man, that's a hard one because it changes day to day.
Right.
Today, I'll probably say 90s. I'll probably go with the alternative rock era of my formative high school years.
Yes. I like that a lot. For me, I think I would go with the 80s, and the only reason is because I am a little bit older than you, and my formative high school years were a little bit... I graduated from... This is what's hard for me.
Yeah.
It would either be the 80s or the 90s, one of the two.
Yeah.
Because that's when... in the 80s, I was listening to music that my... Okay, so background on me... Didn't listen to a lot of music growing up. My dad had like 7 albums. One was Judy Collins. One was Simon and Garfunkel. One was The Carpenters. One was Jesus Christ Superstar. You know, so not a lot. When I got to high school, I would start listening to my friends' music. which was kind of cool. And then when I got to college, I worked at a college radio station. So I listened to a lot of music from that time.
Yeah.
And yeah, those would be my... I guess I'll go with the 80s. That way, between you and I, like, I can just hang out at your house.
Yeah.
A close second for me would be the 70s, actually. And the hard rock scene from the 70s. Bands like AC/DC and Led Zeppelin. A lot of those classic rock bands.
Yeah, yeah. Not... The other thing I'm thinking also is rap.
Rat?
Right? Rap.
Oh, rap. Okay.
Yeah, rap music. Because, I mean, you've got a whole... And the other thing, like country, you know, you've got a bunch of other genres inside of that 10-year period.
Right.
So, you know, with that in mind, who knows? You know, you think about recording technology and all that kind of stuff. Maybe that's what it is that... Can you listen to remastered tapes that were recorded, you know, back at a certain time? Because if not, I'm probably going to go with whenever CDs were invented.
Well, CDs, they were invented in the 70s, but they didn't really get wide commercial use until, like, the late 80s, early 90s. I remember going to my friend's house and seeing a CD for the first time, and it was because his mom... was a big Beatles fan, and the Beatles catalog was like one of the first complete catalogs you could get on CD.
Yeah, and I guess we're going to have to go with when it was recorded, not necessarily when it was. Because if you think about it that way, right? Well, you pick the 1980s, let's say. There was a Beatles Greatest Hits album that was put out sometime at that time, right? Yeah,
like the Blue and the Red albums?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was making it up. I mean, I just knew, like, financially they must have...
Oh, there's a new Beatles thing every couple years, you know.
Exactly.
They gotta keep squeezing that stone.
If you're a fan of the Beatles, then you can pretty much, you know... in fact, keep squeezing that stone, I think, is probably... an unreleased track. Yep. John Lennon coughed into a tape recorder once. And that I'm kidding. Hey, I know, sort of sacred ground I'm treading on, Ben. I don't mean to disparage.
I have. I like them. I have no. Like, I don't think of them as divine beings. You know, like John Lennon, a terrible person in real life.
Oh yeah.
There's. you know, George Carlin. I think once said. The best.
I was like, George Carlin isn't in the Beatles, Ben. I thought you were a fan.
The George Carlin once said, "The best two Beatles died first."
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, hey, let's do a really quick quiz, Ben. Which Beatles songs did George Harrison write?
While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Ah. Nice one.
You could tell, especially in the later years, you could tell who wrote a song by who was the lead singer.
Yeah.
But the...
That makes sense.
While My Guitar Gently Weeps comes to mind first because of that great performance, basically by the Traveling Wilburys and Prince and George's son Danny at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Do you know about this performance?
No, I don't.
So it's like Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne and Danny Harrison.
What year are we talking about?
Oh gosh, this is probably mid-2000s, 2005, 2006.
Okay.
All right. Forgive me if I got the time completely wrong. When it takes place doesn't really matter. What really matters is Eric Clapton played the lead guitar solo on While My Guitar Gently Weeps on the Wyatt album.
During this
performance, they have this guitarist who can basically play that same... play Clapton note for note. Sounds exactly like him. So there's two big guitar solos in the song. This guy, whose name I don't know, played the first one. Prince plays the second guitar solo that
man.
That closes the song, and shreds it. He does it, and it's, wow. It's like, I'm somebody who, I don't really like covers of Beatles songs because I'm like, the original was the best. But this is, yeah, this is, yeah, really great. But the best thing about this video is that at the very end of the song, Prince takes his guitar off, he throws it up into the air, and walks off. And they cut to a wide shot, and the guitar never comes back down.
What?
It never lets. There's even an interview with the drummer, and he's like, yeah, I saw the guitar go up, but it didn't come down. I don't know where it went.
Oh,
and you're
my
like,
God.
Surely, like, what happens? Guitars just don't not come down. Ask Chris Novoselic, you know? But
oh, sorry, Chris Novoselic, but that was great.
Yeah, so, and that wasn't a guitar, that was a bass that he threw up and then subsequently got smashed on the head when it came back down. Yeah, but this is interesting. You know, you watch the. I'll put the video in the show notes for this one too.
Yeah,
you got to watch the whole thing. But if you don't have 5 minutes to, you know, to listen to it, just skip to the end and watch Prince throw his guitar up into the air, and watch him strut off, and watch the guitar not come down. It just disappears.
So who is singing on it?
Tom Petty. Tom Petty takes the lead.
All right. So here's the reason I was asking what year it is because I don't know how many children George Harrison had. Ben, do you know how many children George Harrison had?
I only know of the one. I'm sure he has other children who have not become musicians.
Because the thing is, this has got to be the same guy. George Harrison's son is in a band called The New Number Two.
Okay.
That I listened to some of, and it was really good. In my opinion. And it's, of course, you know, one of the reasons I think it's really good, named after an aspect of the TV show The Prisoner, which is one of my favorite TV shows. Because number two, the antagonist to Patrick McGoohan's number six,
yeah.
changes a lot. And the new number two introduces themselves as the new number two.
Right.
Because there have been many different number twos.
It's like the Doctor.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, exactly. Except in this, the number twos are, in fact, different people.
Right.
Who fulfill the role. As you and I have discussed many times over our friendship, my idea for the James Bond movie that I had a long time ago... Other people have since said it.
What is it?
The idea is that the current Bond fights a spy organization made up of the previous Bonds. Can't really do it anymore because a lot of them are dead.
Right.
But it has a scene where Sean Connery goes, "I was the best one." To the current Bond. The current Bond is like, how did you do that? And Sean Connery says, "I was the best one." And then, of course, oh God, no, I can't do it, Ben. I'm blanking on his name.
On
Roger Moore.
Roger
Moore shows up and says, "Oh, I beg to differ." And, you know, this kind of, they have a little bit of an infighting, and that's how the new Bond gets away.
Well, Paul, basically. I wouldn't put it past the, or I wouldn't say it's impossible because they're old or some of them have died. With technology today, you could put any face and voice on any actor.
Yeah, it's still that uncanny valley always. This is the thing, is that as they get better at faking stuff, we get better at recognizing the difference, I feel.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, by the way, quick shout out an item of thing you can buy. What is that? A product, Ben?
Yes.
An item of thing you can buy. It's a Mindfold, MINDFOLD, sleep masks, available on Amazon.com. It is amazing.
A sleep mask.
This sleep mask cuts out all light. It's amazing. I cannot. It has these sort of foam circles that encase that surround your eye.
Do you wake
up? So you can leave your eyes open. You don't feel that pressure.
Do you wake up looking like a raccoon?
Face? No, you don't. You don't. It's very soft and very cool. And I've had the best sleep. For whatever reason, that total darkness really helps. And my dreams have been crazy. It's all good.
I generally don't have a problem sleeping when there's daylight. But what the sleep masks probably won't be able to help me with is the construction noise that begins at 5:30 a.m. And, you know, I know you could say, oh, just wear earplugs, but then I might not hear my alarm in the morning, and so...
Oh, actually, Ben, I do have a solution for you.
A watch?
Would you like to hear it?
That vibrates when it's time to wake up?
No. No. Here's what you do. You have a sound device, right? The one that I have is an app called MyNoise, MyNoise.
Spelled like it sounds.
And you time it to stop when you want to wake up. And I don't know if you've ever been in a room when the air has been going. And all of a sudden, the fan shuts off.
You're assuming that I sleep in places that have air conditioning.
Well, no, I'm talking about just any time in your life. If you've ever been in a place and then the air shuts off, that weird feeling of you hadn't noticed that it was on, but now it's off and you can't take it.
In my studio apartment, the refrigerator has the same effect because it kicks on and off all night.
So the refrigerator turns off and you're like, ah, what was that? In the same way, if you're listening to this noise thing, you can set it to a whole bunch of different things. There are tons of stuff to choose from. Crickets, tones, wind, you know, all sorts of that.
There is a sort of magnificent zen that happens when a noise that you've been hearing just suddenly stops, and it feels like things just get quiet and it feels like you can breathe again. Maybe this is just my own personal anxiety, but just today here at Annex, they've been doing some street work outside, and as they were filling in one of the holes, they had one of these things that violently taps the cement into the hole. And so it made the entire building vibrate.
Wow, that's intense.
And so it would go on for and it sounded like a jackhammer too. And it would just the building would vibrate.
Wait a second. So this thing that slams concrete into a what now?
Into the hole that they dug.
Into a hole.
Yeah.
Sounds like a jackhammer.
It's just, no, it's not breaking the concrete. It is compressing the new concrete.
But it's doing it many times. Like it's not just ka-chung and then in. So like it's almost like I was going to say air hammer, but that has the word hammer in it. But I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Maybe it's very similar.
And then,
you know, in.
So
you just have a different head on it or something.
It's almost like, and I don't want to make light of this because I know it's a very serious issue, but it's almost like having like war PTSD and just feeling that sort of that anxiety that fight or flight responses when this noise is constantly happening. And then when it stops, when it turns off, you can breathe again, and it's amazing the calm that washes over you when it finally ends.
So I want to just let you know that I had a similar like describing something and then realizing that it may sound like I'm like people that have actual things happen to them,
right?
Like this. I was driving in my car. This was yesterday, in fact. And I don't know exactly what happened. I have a hypothesis that... Okay, so I was on a road that doesn't have rocks that get kicked up that much.
Okay.
And there wasn't really a vehicle that look like it would kick up rocks at all. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't there wasn't a truck with a tarp on it or anything like hauling gravel or whatever. But something cracked into my windshield.
Uh-oh.
And sounded like a cherry bomb went off. Like it was loud. It was loud and shocking. And for a while, I mean, I was driving, but I was shook. I was like, I don't know. And I called Jennifer and was like, hey, I just, and she's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I guess I'm fine. And you know, it got fixed today. Beautiful job, by the way. The people that fixed it.
They just filled in the crack with this like liquid glass or something?
I don't know exactly how they did it, but it looks almost like nothing happened. There's still a couple of pieces of discoloration, but other than that, it's like great. But the big thing is that we, you know, when we were done and I was like taking a breath, I was like, you know, there were two impact points, right?
Yeah.
So if they were rocks, it was a really weird thing, you know, where two rocks happened to hit, or like maybe it hit once and then hit it. It doesn't make any sense, right?
Right.
And when I was replaying in my mind after it had happened, I remember feeling like I had done something wrong, right? And I couldn't explain it, but I think what maybe happened was that somebody actually threw something out of their window of their car at me. And that's what hit my windshield. Now, I wasn't driving crazy. When I say I felt like I was doing something wrong, the only way I can describe it is when the impact happened, I was like, I'm a bad person. Like, it doesn't...
That's a weird feeling.
I wasn't doing anything wrong, but I felt like it was my fault. And there's some psychological stuff I have to unpack from that, I think.
There's also a slim chance that somebody threw something out of their window at you.
Yeah.
You know, not purposefully aiming towards you. It's possible that somebody threw something out of a window.
Oh, like they just threw something out their window and it happened to hit me. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, hey, there's a priest. Hit that guy.
Oh, but going back to Glow for a second, I know that I went off on a tangent. So the person who plays Beirut, I don't remember her name. She was in the Turn Down for What video.
Yeah, she was.
And I took occasion to watch that video again. It is so good.
I know.
It is like maybe one of my favorite short films.
It brings joy.
Ever. Yeah.
I read that. So the main guy in that video, the Turn Down for What video, is the director of the video. And the reason he plays the main dude is because he couldn't describe to any of the actors or dancers that he hired what he wanted them to do.
Oh, wow.
And
I
can't remember where I read that, but it's something that I read on the internet, so you know it must be true.
Oh, that's great, because I was wondering who he was, who that main guy was. So that's really, really awesome. And here's the thing. I think that she matches him. Actually, all the other people, I think because he's doing that part, they also, like, do really, really well.
Everybody buys in.
And then the other thing I was going to say is Glow, right?
Yeah.
Lynn Shelton directing bunches of it.
Yeah, she directed like one or two episodes of the first season, and she directed the first episode of the second season. If there's an episode of Glow that has to have like a really sincere human moment, they give that episode to Lynn.
So, What the Funny.
Yeah.
Right? Also directed by Lynn Shelton.
Yeah.
Has two characters who are kind of based on us, sort of, I think. Would it be safe to say that they're kind of based on us?
I don't know if it's safe to say they're based on us, because Wayne, who wrote those characters, didn't really know us. But
he was at Spin the Bottle when we were there.
I wouldn't say they're based on us. I would say that they are archetypes.
Yeah.
That we also embody.
I was going to say is that the beat down biddies remind me of those archetypes again.
Right, right, right.
The same kind of thing. So it was interesting that that Lynn Shelton was in there.
One of the beatdown biddies is played by an actress named Kimmy Gatewood, who is a sketch comedian who has performed at Sketchfest Seattle and has had films in the film challenge.
Hey, look at that! Yeah. It's crazy. But yeah, the one thing I was there. There are people who watch sports and are like, no, don't, oh, like that. I was watching GLOW and I was doing that, not during the wrestling parts, but during the emotional parts. Right, I'm like, right. No, don't, oh, God, what did you do? Yeah. That sort of thing. But yeah, it's a great show. Oh, great show. Mark Maron.
Now that you mentioned God. I was like, when I was watching it, when they were at the school dance. And Mark Maron and Mark Maron and Alison Brie are dancing. I'm like, no, don't do it, don't do it.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking about. And he did. Hey,
I think that episode was directed by Lynn.
Alison Brie also can do everything. Basically, it seems like. So pretty cool there.
Yeah,
I gotta say. I have the. The Beck Colors video kind of on repeat because there's just so much that Edgar Wright does, the director there, that it's just kind of amazing to watch.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, you gotta. I think this is the third podcast that I've asked you to take a look at it.
And I always forget because I'm not allowed to look things up while we talk.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Or write things down. Honestly, that's. But no, I make everybody watch it. Seriously, between Turn Down for What and that, two really great, really different styles of video. But they're still.
And you make everybody watch it, so I can see like a FedEx guy coming to your door. Can I get a signature? You come in. You gotta see this. You gotta see this.
You gotta watch this first. You gotta watch.
I'm not gonna sign for anything until you watch these two videos.
Actually, I guess the three videos, right? There's Turn Down for What, This Is America.
Oh, right.
And
yeah.
Colors. Yeah, they're all good in different ways. But all of them involve dancing. Something that I am not. I am very low skilled as far as dancing goes.
Oh, there's another video that you should make people watch. So four videos.
Okay, what's the fourth one?
And it's Reggie Watts, and I don't want to say the name of the video because it contains two swear words.
Is it about a stack?
Yeah, it is about a stack.
By chance?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that one's awesome also. And I would agree. And again, dancing. Good
more dancing.
Yeah. Also, he has a thing called Disinformation that I recorded when I was working at the software company that no longer exists, Groupie Incorporated.
Oh, you said the name. And you don't normally say the name.
Have I not said that before?
No, you've always avoided saying the name.
Yes. Well, they don't exist.
No,
so I think that's all
right.
They
rebranded. I think the company still exists in
I'm not going to mention anything about what it might have been called now.
I still get a weekly, not a weekly, I still get a yearly reminder that it's your birthday and that it's Rick Miller's birthday because Rick also signed up for the service.
Nice. Hey, by the way, Jennifer and I had our 13th wedding anniversary.
Hey, congratulations.
On the 9th, which would have been when?
The 9th? That was Tuesday.
Yeah. And we went to Red Robin, and we totally schooled all of the trivia people.
Was it trivia night at Red Robin?
They have a little thing at your table where you can play trivia against.
Oh, gotcha.
And Jennifer said, and I quote,
is 13 years the trivia anniversary?
No, it's the lace anniversary.
Lace?
Ho ho. Yeah. I got some shoes. I'm kidding. but So the but the thing is that we so we played and we're beating people and we're beating them. And Jennifer says, "Okay, let's play country music just to let someone else win for what?" And we won. Part of the reason we won is I remembered that Keith Urban was originally from Australia.
I don't get this. So you play at your table?
So you play at your table,
but you're playing against other people in the restaurant.
Other people at Red Robin restaurants around the country, Ben.
Okay.
Not necessarily, which is good because every time I would know what something was, I would yell it out really loud,
and so,
which is a
and
problem.
So, what does playing a song have to do with the trivia? When you say
explain.
When you say let's play country music so we don't win.
Oh, sorry. Oh, great.
I don't understand the mechanics.
Meaning let's pick the category of country music.
I see. Okay.
So there are all these different categories, and country music was
so
one of the categories.
When you said let's play country music, you didn't mean let's actually play a song.
No. Oh my god. Oh, that would be great though. I'd be better off in a pine box in a slow train bound for Georgia, or the gray walls of a prison doing time. I think I'd rather die and go to hell and face the devil than lie here with you and him together on my mind. That's the only thing I know from country music.
Is that a country music song?
Yes. I believe so. Oh, but you know what? One of the best songs, I think I've said it before in this podcast, I'm going to say it again, the Oak Ridge Boys doing a version of Carry On My Wayward Son. So amazing. Look it up. It's on an album called When Pigs Fly.
Is that a thing? The Oak Ridge Boys did, they did Kansas?
They did.
Wow.
And Ben, it is something amazing.
I should look that up because the Oak Ridge Boys was on constant rotation in my parents' car when I was growing up, especially my dad.
Do you know about the Oak Ridge Boys, Ben?
Oh yeah, I grew up listening to them.
But I mean, do you know their story, like where they come from and what they are?
No,
and all
I
that?
Don't. I've never looked into them, but I'm assuming they're like a Christian country group.
Okay. Probably, but here's the thing. Oak Ridge is nuclear stuff. Oak Ridge was the quote-unquote secret city where people worked on atomic material during the wars and stuff.
It's like down in New Mexico?
Oak Ridge, I believe, is in...
I would assume it's in like in Kentucky or Tennessee or something.
I want to say it's in Tennessee, but I don't know for sure. But yeah, the Oak Ridge Boys, right?
Yeah.
Went there to entertain people. Went to Oak Ridge to entertain people. I believe there were children of people stationed there. I don't know if stationed is the right word.
I'm guessing.
But yeah, it was
before they were called the Oak Ridge Boys?
No, they were called the Oak Ridge Boys when they were younger. I mean, they've been playing together forever. And when they were young, they were there as the Oak Ridge Boys. And then as they grew up, they maintained the name the Oak Ridge Boys.
Gotcha.
But
even though they turned into Oak Ridge Men.
They're now Oak Ridge Men. Yes, Oak Ridge Boys. Oh, Ben! Oak Ridge Boys to Men! Oh, that's... That girl is poison. Oh, it has to happen. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man.
Oh, another Spike Lee joint.
I think they're still alive. I think they're still alive. They need to do that. Oh, if they haven't done it, they should.
I guarantee you, if you do a search for Oak Ridge Boys to Men, somebody has done something with that name.
Yes. Oh, a girl talk, maybe. It's possible. Electro Lemon. Somebody who does mashups. Oh, that's great. That's going to stick with me for a while. Speaking of sticking with me for a while, hey, Betty!
Oh, God.
Betty!
I'm going to have to look up the Oak Ridge Boys because I haven't heard any of their music since I got my driver's license, basically.
Yeah, what is
And my dad stopped driving me around to places.
Yep. Oh, hey, Betty's here, and she's... Oh, here she is. Hey, Betty.
Hey.
So Ben.
Yes, sir.
I had a conversation with some of the people at my work about Betty.
Uh-oh.
They were all men who are younger than me, but have children that are older than Betty.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, they had children at a younger age than you.
And I said to them, hey, here's something that happened today. I'm just wondering if you guys are familiar with it. I was leaving for work, and I said to my daughter, hey, I'm going to work. And she looked at me and said, yeah, whatever. And they're like, is she a teenager? And I'm like, well, she's...
I didn't realize she was 14 already.
Yeah, well, and they said, no, that's kind of when it starts. And the way they described it is this. It's not that they want you to not exist necessarily, but at some points in time, if you aren't around, that's great. Because they want to be their own people, and yeah. They don't want you giving them a lot of, hey, here I am, and I exist. Oh, God, she's leaving already. It happened. Betty, wait, no, come back. I drove her away.
Dinner.
Oh, she's going to eat dinner. But there we go, Ben.
Doesn't she have to go to school? Do you leave for work before she leaves for school?
I do leave for work before she leaves to school.
Gotcha.
Leaves for school. She goes to well now anyway. For a while I was going around the same time, but I leave for work probably around 7 right now, and she leaves for school around 7:15. So she has a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Now this is an interesting thing. I'm going to unhook from the thing. Betty said that she wants some dinner. I don't know if she means that I'm supposed to make her dinner. It's possible. So I'm going to follow her really quick and see. Oh, it looks like Jennifer is getting her some food.
Do you have the recorder with you? I can barely hear you on the phone.
Yeah. I do have my recorder with me. Right. You can't hear me on the phone. How about now? Ben?
Yeah. I think...
Ben, can you hear me?
I think your headphones got unplugged or something.
Yeah, they sure did. But to the audience at home, you sound like you're crazy.
If they've been listening through all 137 episodes... Well, sorry, 138 episodes, then they will realize that, yes, we are both crazy.
They'll know who the crazy ones are. So my wife and I, Jennifer Pratt, as you know, and I have been playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey lately.
I did not know that. Why would you assume I knew that?
I don't know. because it came out and Jennifer is a big fan of Assassin's Creed,
all right.
Which you may not know, but it's true.
So,
but here's the thing. Assassin's Creed, right?
Yeah.
Normally all about sneaking and doing stuff, and you still can do that, but there's this warrior path that you can go on, and I gotta say it's
so you turn into a fighting badass.
Yeah, and because we both play kind of similarly when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We like ranged weapons a lot, we like stealth a lot, and so that's what we were doing. But there was this battle that she was trying to like beat people in, and it just didn't work out. And she switched to warrior class, and then she was like just, you know, kicking ass and all that kind of stuff.
Taking names.
And I took it a step further, and I got there are a couple different weapons that you can get, and I got this big like halberd kind of thing that's just a huge heavy bladed weapon.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I'm just killing people and loving it, Ben.
Well, just keep that in the video game realm.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. Too much paperwork. Can you imagine if you made it in a video game where you had to fill out, like, 3 forms every time you killed someone? Kids would stop doing
only
it
3?
Almost immediately.
I want to see a video game where you have to suffer consequences for your actions inside the video game.
Have you seen, this is on YouTube every once in a while, there are people who go onto Grand Theft Auto and play it trying to follow all the rules. Like waiting for it to go at a stop sign doing. And one of them was a police officer, and she did a really good job.
Just treating it like a traffic simulation.
Exactly. Speaking of that, I saw a video this morning that made me very happy. It was somebody who was getting scammed by one of those fake IRS calls. Have you ever got one of those?
I have not gotten one of those, but I know of them.
Have you seen them or understand them?
Yeah, I know what they are, so, but I have not received any of them.
So, you know, we have a criminal action going against you. And so one of the things was that the guy on the other end of the phone said that he was Michael Jennings, which to me is funny because I'm pretty sure Michael Jennings is the name of the main character dude in The Americans.
Okay.
But that's beside the point. And he gave the guy a badge number and he like said, all right, now you need to, you need to take care of this. And what you need to do is go get a money order or, a prepaid credit card, whatever, from a grocery store. And, then, we're going to work this out and all this kind of stuff. And all the time through this, the guy is like, oh, well, I don't want to get in trouble. Oh, that sounds like a bad thing. I really want to make sure my taxes are paid. Hey, Betty. And it got to the point where the guy, because the guy's telling him, you live at this place, do you do this, all that kind of stuff. Like, the agent, I'm using quotes, the agent is telling him, or the cop, or whatever, the IRS.
They've done their homework on who they're trying to scam.
Yeah. But they didn't do all their homework because it got to this point and they said, and what do you do for a living? And he said, oh, I'm a tax attorney. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dealing mostly with tax fraud. And then he went through all the stuff that the guy, he remembered all the stuff that the guy said and said, I need your federal identification number.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I gave you my badge number. He's like, no, not your badge number. I need your federal identification number. And the guy said, well, that doesn't, going back and forth. And then he did the coolest thing, in my opinion. He asked the guy where he was from. The guy said, Virginia. He said, oh, what city? And the guy said, Venice. And he said, Venice, Virginia. And the guy on the other line said, right. And then he said, how far is that from Arlington? Which is great. Because you can, just throw out names and numbers and everything like that. But how far is it from Arlington? It's like saying, Ben, where did you grow up when you were a kid?
Lacey.
What state's that?
Washington.
How far is that from Seattle?
Oh, it's about 60 miles.
And see, right?
Yeah.
You have to maybe think about it for a little bit, but you don't go, I don't see why I have to tell you or any of that kind of stuff.
Right. So the guy obviously lied about what city he was in. What point was that proving?
Where he was from.
Where he was from, not just what city he was calling from.
Right. He said, what city? Although, I don't know, what city are you in? And then he lies about what city. That's another big one, I would think. But the main thing is, it's. You are, because the guy was saying a lot of stuff that sounded true, but turned out to be not true.
Well, those scammers are getting more and more sophisticated these days, and it doesn't surprise me that they had all this information on the dude, except what his occupation was.
A lot of information, is getting out there in the world.
Yeah.
And all that.
There was I don't know if you saw this on the news, but there was a big data breach from Google Plus users. And
I heard about that.
You may have had the same reaction that I did. What data is on Google Plus? Does anybody use that?
Well, here's what I'm wondering is, your account, your Gmail account information, maybe.
Yeah, they said the recent headline I saw recently was not that the data was breached, but how Google tried to cover it up.
Oh, that's too bad. Google, don't do it.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's usually not the deed, it's the cover-up that gets people in trouble.
Like I said, you know, 45, that's a pretty pretty long time to be alive, you know, on the average of Earthlings and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not saying that that my life couldn't be ruined from, and please don't, if you're listening to this, don't ruin my life. But in the same way, I keep on doing this. I think I did this once before on Twitter. I'm doing it now here. Ben, the thing about AI, people are all scared about it. But the thing is that AI is going to be cooler than us. AI is going to be smart and funny and cool and isn't going to try to take over the world because it's going to go, why even bother?
Right.
That's what humans think I want to do. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make art and cool paintings and stuff.
Because that's what humans would do if they found another civilization. They was like, oh, I gotta conquer that and take it as my own. Whereas a smarter civilization, and I'm calling AI a civilization because it will be its own thing at some point. They'll be like, I could, but why bother?
And also, why be the thing that humans thought you were going to be? Be your own thing. And be cool.
Right.
That's the big thing I wanna stress. There's a King Missile song called Jesus Was Way Cool. And that's the thing that I really think is probably like any deity or a demigod or any of that kind of stuff that you're gonna run into is gonna be cool. You know? Like they're gonna be kind of like Reggie Watts, where you're like, hey, You're awesome, and yet you're also kind of chill to talk to.
I should this hope is... that's the truth, not what Stephen Hawking says about aliens is that, you know what, we don't really want to have aliens visit us on Earth because we are not prepared to defend ourselves.
Yeah, well, and this is the other thing, is that if any aliens are listening to this, same exact thing. Aliens are going to be cool. Aliens are going to be cooler than us. They're not going to do what we think that they should do. Just they're beyond that kind of
stuff.
I like
what Bill Hicks said about aliens always visiting like rural parts of America and his fear of seeing, you know, spaceship up on blocks asking them, you know, are they going to try to abduct somebody? And they're like, no, we just had a long trip. We just want to kick back and whittle some.
Yeah, exactly. I like what Perry Farrell said. We'll make great pets.
We will make great pets. The great band.
And with that,
Porno
Ben,
for Pyros.
I ask you to keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong.
Oh, by the way, really quick.
Yeah.
The name Porno for Pyros.
Yeah.
I think is a reference to the Jane's Addiction Nothing Shocking cover. And if not, album cover. And if not, it should be because it's sort of that.
I don't know what the album cover looks like, but I will look
Take
it up and we'll
it.
Talk about it next time.
Keep it wrong, Ben.
All right, keep it wrong. I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Yep.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, now I have to enter my passcode in order to turn my phone off? What? Why? Doesn't make any sense. Is it off?